It's our pleasure today to introduce as a guest speaker Rabbi Kenneth Milhander. He is the spiritual leader of our Gracious Host Temple Beth Tikva, and his theme will be to tell the truth. Thank you for speaking with us today, Rabbi.
Thank you, Christina. It's a pleasure to be welcomed in my own home. I have to say, I'm certainly used to standing here, but not on a Sunday. So. Before I begin, I just want to say on behalf of the members of Temple Beth Tikva and our board of directors, our entire leadership, how much we value and appreciate our partnership and friendship between the UUCF and TBT. It's a wonderful partnership. With four young children in the house, you can imagine that aside from work and schlepping the kids from one place to another, that I don't get out too often. And yet, people continually ask me if I have seen the latest movie. I usually smile, I laugh, and I politely remind them that my life basically revolves around this place and those four children, and that I look forward to seeing every movie one day when I retire. I do, however, listen to the radio and watch television, which report and advertise movies, as you know, so I am aware of the latest Jim Carrey movie titled Yes Man, the premise of which is a guy who challenges himself to say yes to everything for an entire year. Now, I can certainly understand a movie saying no the entire year, because that I'm certainly used to doing in my house. But yes, that's another thing. And clearly that's impossible. And I would venture to say that at least half of his answers are untrue. Perhaps Yes Man should be shown as a double feature with Jim Carrey's 1997 release, Liar, Liar. Let's face it, lying and deception are part of our daily lives. From labels on the foods that we eat, to stickers on items we see in stores, to those who testify before Senate and congressional committees, there is always something not totally true about many of our daily encounters with things and people. So ask yourselves, when was the last time that I told a lie? Was it a big lie? A white lie? To a parent? A child? A friend? A coworker? A neighbor? Was the lie well thought out in advance? Or was it on the spur of the moment, an uncontrollable expression? Well, the truth is, each of us has lied in some fashion. And some may argue that in certain situations, it is even okay to fib just a little. For example, if we know that the absolute truth will hurt somebody that we care for, we may tell that person something not absolutely truthful to protect them. Or sometimes we have to shade the truth just a little bit to protect ourselves. I know that when we were all teenagers, we did that at least once. You know, tell our parents the truth, say, about where we have been or who we were with or what we were doing, but not necessarily the whole truth. Today, with GPS and cell phones, it's a little harder to get away with things like that, but I'm sure that teenagers continue to lie to their parents. With an 11-year-old, I just can't vape. Now, here in the United States, of course, young children are taught that lying is wrong, and that one little lie leads to bigger and bigger lies to cover up the first one, the so-called snowball effect. Children are taught that, like crime, lying doesn't pay. That sooner or later, the lie will be exposed and they'll be caught red-handed. Jewish tradition also teaches that it is best to always speak the truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Even one of our top 10 commandments reads, Lo ta'aneh v're'acha eid shaker. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Which is generally extrapolated to mean, you shall not lie. Not just on the witness stand, but at any time. Psalm 102 reads, A person who practices dishonesty shall not dwell in my, meaning God's, house. And the Talmud teaches it is forbidden to deceive anyone, Jew or non-Jew. And to deceive with words or abuse with the tongue is a greater offense than to cheat in matters of money. The 13th century Talmudic scholar Judah of Gerona even went so far as to enumerate 9 different types of lies. I won't bore you with the categories. From all of this, it would seem that Jewish tradition, literature, and culture is wholeheartedly against lying. And I am sure that there are similar teachings found in most other religions and cultures as well. Yet, throughout the Jewish Bible, we read of many acts of deception. And in one particular case, not one, but 2 acts of dishonesty, both by Laban, the father of Leah and Rachel. First, after promising to Jacob his daughter Rachel as a wife, Laban deceives Jacob and sends Leah in Rachel's stead. And in the second case, Laban offers to Jacob his choice of animals for all of his hard work, but then deliberately cheats Jacob by sending away with his sons the very animals that Jacob chose. Now think for a second. What would you have done had you been Jacob? I know that we don't arrange marriages anymore, but can you imagine being promised a particular woman or man for a spouse, and then being sent somebody else? And poor Rachel, she too was promised to Jacob, and then sees her sister being sent in her place. And we can all relate to not being paid a fair wage for an honest day's work. Were Laban and Jacob alive today, I am sure that the Better Business Bureau, the AFL-CIO, a collections agency, and a host of government investigators would be knocking on the door of Laban's house. And without a doubt, they would end up on the People's Court or Judge Judy. But what did Jacob do in actuality? He confronted Laban's trickery not with anger, but with his own questions. What is this that you have done to me? Can you hear the Jewish guilt, right? What is this that you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I have been in your service for 7 years? Why did you deceive me? Now, although his inquiry is clear and direct, Jacob, surprisingly, like I said, is not angry with Laban. The text does not tell of any physical struggle or even of any plan for revenge. When Laban answers saying, It is not the custom in our place to marry off the youngest daughter before the older, Jacob simply accepts his answer, surprisingly without comment. The commentary on this story explains that perhaps Jacob felt just a little guilty himself at that moment for the trick that he played on his own father years before by stealing the birthright and inheritance away from his older brother Esau. Today, of course, we call that karma and say what comes around goes around. Now, some commentators praise Jacob's handling of the situation, saying that he kept his dignity by not losing control of his anger or by physically attacking Laban. The 20th century Israeli scholar Nachama Leibovitz says that because of this, Jacob is a model for handling those who cheat and lie to us. Others, however, say that liars and cheaters should be exposed publicly, arguing that confrontation in front of an audience not only brings satisfaction to the party who has been harmed, but it also warns others about those who practice deceit. All of these arguments and explanations can have merit and meaning for us today. Like Jacob, we too want to enjoy trusting relationships with others and to be fairly compensated for our work. Also, like Jacob, we too have feelings of guilt about things that we have done in our past. These things continue to bother us. They mold and they shape the decisions that we make for many years to come. No one likes to be cheated or taken advantage of, and we would like to think that our own honesty will be reciprocated by others. Yet at times we find ourselves selfishly twisting the truth to our own advantage, hoping that on one hand that our lie is not exposed, and on the other hand also hoping that others do not likewise twist the truth against us to their own advantage. We have all been taught, and we'd like to think that our society teaches our children through example, through books and television shows and movies, that lying is wrong. Again, in the Jewish tradition, the command against not telling the truth cannot be more prominent or more clear than it is as found in the Ten Commandments. Yet our society and Jewish tradition, at least, also recognize that there are appropriate times when not telling the whole truth is acceptable and even just. One well-known example found in the Talmud is that no matter what a bride looks like on her wedding day, one should still say to her, "You are a beautiful and charming bride." Yes, that's actually written in the Talmud. It is. I didn't make it up. Still, as we all know, lying is wrong, especially when it is done for political or social advantage. We all know people lie. But in recent years, the level of deceit in the public arena has become much more public. You'll recall the top tobacco executives testifying before Congress a few years ago that smoking doesn't cause cancer. How about the Enron executives who claimed that they had nothing to do with the collapse of their company? Yeah, pension funds, life savings, it all went down the drain. But those executives, millions and millions and millions of dollars in golden parachutes. What about the gasoline company execs who tried to explain almost $5 a gallon gas? I know we've all forgotten about that now that we're paying cheap. But it wasn't that long ago. And they were hauled before Congress and they tried to explain it. How about those auto executives, those CEOs, who went to Washington to beg for bailout money flying there on their Lear jets. Many of these people were not just lying to Congress and the American people. What's worse, they were doing it under oath. We all remember the inaccurate and deceiving statements made by President Clinton. And it seems clear now that President Bush also, fill in the blank, deceived the country to promote the war in Iraq. Of course, many people who testify before Congress or make public statements shade the truth to their advantage and their own political agendas. And Presidents Clinton and Bush, as we all know, were not the first American presidents to deceive the American public. I'm sure even Washington and Jefferson and Adams, every single one of them has done so. But when we get right down to it, deception and lying are wrong and harmful. Wrong and harmful to a just and righteous society. As we go through life, sometimes we are treated like Jacob by the Labans of the world. Do we react in anger or rush to public condemnation of the person who cheated us? Or like Jacob, do we say nothing? Do we wait? Give the person a second chance to correct the wrong? Do we say, once I cheated so-and-so, and so now it's my turn to be taken advantage of, thereby making excuses for the liar and cheater? Or do we learn from our mistakes and not allow others to deceive us? We can all learn from Jacob's example. When he entered the area of Haran, he did so as a trickster and a cheater. But as he departed, he had matured into a person of strength, reason, and integrity. From Jacob's behavior as described in the book of Genesis, we learn that we too should learn from our own mistakes. Come to know the difference between lying for our own advantage and not telling the whole truth to protect ourselves or others. And that we should be weary of those who do not play by the same rules that we do. We have to remember that not every lie is worthy of a full confession or an indictment by a federal grand jury. But we should never think that even the smallest falsehood goes without consequences. Amen.